In space, the sun gleams over Earth, and a blanket of clouds turns into a starry nebula. Star clusters turn into a constellation of a lion. Glowing clouds part, and a grandiose logo appears. Lionsgate. Sparks fly from a grindstone as a logo appears. Grindstone Entertainment Group. White letters appear before a black background. Walk Like a Duck Entertainment. Dark blue and black blotches spread across a beige background. Eyes form from the blotches and text appears below it. SSS Entertainment. Lionsgate. Grindstone Entertainment Group present. In association with Walk Like a Duck Entertainment. SSS Entertainment. DiaWorks Productions. LB Entertainment. A low fog slowly crawls across a flat field at night. A dark blue light cuts through desert foliage. Plants covered in spikes rustle in the breeze. Pigs walk around an enclosure, stepping in a puddle. They graze off the land, with large stacks of hay lining the sides of their enclosure. Dim blue light shines from bug zappers that dangle on the outside of a trailer home. Wind gently rocks a hanging four-prong meat hook. The back door to the trailer breaks off its hinges as a naked woman comes flying out of the home. She stumbles to her feet and runs away. The front door to the trailer opens. A man stands in the doorway, silhouetted against the indoor light. Clutching a knife, he steps out and slowly walks across the yard. The woman runs through the darkness. She stops by a large stack of hay. Pausing, she looks over her shoulder. She hurries forward through a path lined with the large stacks of hay. She climbs over a small metal fence and runs past the pig enclosure. Bones protrude from the ground. The woman hurries through a field. She stumbles, kicking up a small cloud of dirt as she falls to the ground. The man walks through the darkness to her. He raises his knife as the woman gets up and keeps running. On a road, the headlights from an RV cut through the dense nighttime fog. A gray-haired woman drives. A man wearing a Vietnam veteran hat sits in the passenger seat with a dog. The naked woman runs out in front of the car. The gray-haired woman brakes but slams into the naked woman.
Christ, Ellen. How many times do I have to tell you to take it easy on the brakes?
She came from nowhere.
What was?
It was the naked woman. I said you should drive. Oh, I told you she's underneath.
You didn't say that. Here, hold Molly.
The man checks under the car where the naked woman lies on her back.
Christ, bring a blanket.
The man with the knife walks through a field. Helen wraps the girl in a blanket.
Is she dead?
No, but if we don't get her to the hospital right now, she will be. We gotta get her in the van. Come on.
The RV's taillights slowly fade into the distance as they drive away. The man with the knife steps into the road and watches the vehicle leave. A title appears in blood-spattered letters. Squealer. At a hospital, nurses place the woman onto a gurney.
Come on, let's get her in. She's lost a lot of blood.
They quickly wheel her into the building. The girl rolls her head from side to side. Abrasive lights shine down from the hallway onto her as she closes her eyes. Dirt and blood covers her face, shoulders, and hands. At the empty field before the trailer home, a red car revs up and drives into the night. In the hospital, a short-haired doctor looks over the woman. Nurses stand on either side examining her arms.
All right, what have we got?
I can't find a vein.
All these needle marks, all the veins are flat. Oh, shit. I really don't want to have to do a carotid.
There's nothing.
The doctor glances to one of the nurses.
Do it.
The nurse walks around to the woman's head. He gently rolls her chin away and sticks a needle into the side of her neck.
It's okay.
Blood spurts from the injection.
Hold her down. Hold her down. Hold her.
It's okay.
He's coming.
Sweetie.
And nobody's coming. No, 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 no. What's your name?
Huh?
It's okay. It's okay.
We're all right here. You're gonna be okay. What other drugs have you taken?
They hold her down as she goes limp.
Oh, God. All right. Let's keep her sedated and let's get a look at these lacerations. Looks like she's gone through a meat grinder. Draw some blood and get it back to me as quick as possible.
The woman rolls her head around. On the road, the man in the red car slowly cruises down a street. He passes by a wall covered by graffiti where several women stand around in revealing clothing. A dirty-looking man approaches one of the women.
Nice ass. Give me a grab, will you?
Fuck off!
The man watches as a convertible pulls up to the two of them. A woman wearing a black and silver vest hops out and hurries to them.
Hey!
I really admire them bodacious jugs.
We'll find some fucking other ones.
Hey, punk! You feeling lucky? Are you? Go ahead. Touch her again. Do it.
Tell Lisa what's gotten into you.
Yeah, what kind of hooker are you anyway, lady?
Not one you can afford. Hey, back off. Come on.
Do you see what I'm doing?
Oh, come on. Just a little titty. I got money. How much will $10 get me?
You can get fucked, but not by us.
How do you deal with that all the time?
Okay. Come on, pull those girls out.
Sadie! Hey! No!
Sadie hits the man with her purse as the other woman pulls them apart.
Every fucking time.
Outside the hospital, a cop interviews the older couple.
Yeah, it was just off a country road near some tracks, I think.
How fast were you going?
Well, I was going the speed limit.
Why was she driving? Were you drinking?
No.
Okay, so was she drinking?
No.
So what meds are you on?
What?
Excuse me?
At the graffiti wall.
Oh, honey. I have some concealer in here that'll help with that.
Yeah, right. Oh, what about a smoke instead?
Oh, yeah. Here.
The woman opens a pack of cigarettes, then pauses.
Actually, take the whole pack.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yeah. No time like the present.
She lights the cigarette for Sadie. She holds out her concealer, then pulls it back.
Hey, have you thought about my offer? I can see you tomorrow.
Sadie takes the concealer and rolls her eyes.
I don't know. I wouldn't even have anything proper to wear.
You're about my size. Why don't you stop by my place tomorrow and you can borrow something?
Not gonna make me wear something like this, are you?
No, actually, I have something perfect. And then if you get the job, they'll fit you for a uniform.
Uniform? God, Lisa, the only uniform I've ever worn is an orange jumpsuit.
Hey, opportunities like this, they don't come around every day. I know you don't want to be walking the streets like this when you're 50.
Lucky if I make it to 35.
The other women slowly walk away. Lisa glances past Sadie's shoulder.
Yeah. Here comes the party pooper.
I really don't know. I mean, it happens so fast. We're not from around here.
She came out of nowhere.
The red car passes the older couple and the cop. A cop car slowly pulls up to Sadie and Lisa.
Evening, ladies.
The cop notices Sadie's black eye.
Sadie, what happened here?
Nothing.
One day it's not gonna be nothing. There's some bad dudes out there. I hate to see you get hurt.
Sadie mouths the words, thank you, to the cop.
You know the drill. Get in the back.
Seriously?
Don't make me get out of this car.
Lisa's jaw drops as the cop gets out of the car and walks to her.
You don't have anything sharp.
Are you kidding me right now? You are kidding me, right?
With anything
hey,
back here?
Hey,
you do that again.
Put your hand.
And I'm gonna throw the cuffs on you.
He pushes her into the car.
Watch your head.
Hey, Officer Jack. Want some extra company? We're offering a 2-for-1 special tonight.
This one's all I can handle. Thank you.
Your loss.
Sadie takes a drag from her cigarette as Jack drives off. In the hospital, the woman lies unconscious in her bed. Images flash of the trailer, taxidermy animal heads, and knives. Jack sits in the front of the car, his forearm resting on the steering wheel.
Will you let me out of this car right now?
If you give me a kiss, I will.
How about I give you a punch in the mouth? Oh, you're so not funny.
I'm hilarious.
Oh, I'm glad you think you are. Everyone else thinks you're a bore.
You mind telling me what you're doing out here dressed as a mariachi woman?
It's my hooker look.
You think dudes want to hook up with women that are dressed as mariachis?
It's not mariachi. I came to talk to Sadie and try to get her go that interview for tomorrow.
I still don't get it.
I feel like I'm more relatable to the girls if I don't look like soccer mom.
More images flash of taxidermy animals and the man with the knife. The hospitalized woman rocks back and forth in her bed as a nurse tries to hold her down.
Please, no. No, you just keep an eye on her.
The doctor pulls out his phone and dials. Please. Lisa declines a call on her phone.
I think soccer mom's hot. So about that kiss?
Oh, you got a one-track mind.
Well, goddamn, Lisa, it's been 2 months. Speaking of which, you coming back home or not?
Lisa purses her lips to the side and looks off.
That's it? You're not gonna say anything. Normally, I can't get you to shut up, and now you're going all silent.
Oh, whoa, okay, well, oh, now I'm really not going to say anything. I'll just sit back here with my mouth shut. I'm not going to say a word. Nothing. Not a zip. Won't even say anything about your hair.
What the fuck about my hair?
Is that just for men?
No, but I did a little, but shut up.
Lisa holds her phone to her ear.
Shoot, I gotta go. That's Joe. Gotta get to work.
Absolute nonsense.
Hey, let me out. Serious.
All right.
I gotta go. Thank you.
Jack checks his hair in the rear mirror.
Looks like it did when I was 20.
At the hospital.
Okay, let's not make this difficult. Just put one foot in front of the other and walk the line.
All right, just do what he says, Helen. Let's get this done with. Jesus Christ.
A pair of booted feet slink through the hospital. A hand reaches out and pulls aside a curtain, revealing an empty bed.
She's a lost cause. Sadly, I see these type of situations every time out here.
Shame on you. She's somebody's daughter.
I'm sure she used to be.
A hand drags across more curtains in the hospital. They pull apart another set, revealing an older man lying in bed with a woman sitting next to him. They both glance up and frown at the booted figure. Lisa steps into a room with the doctor, Joe.
Hey, thanks for coming. We brought her in with multiple lacerations. She's high as a kite, with no ID, and had this real acrid smell to her. She's really freaked out.
Okay.
Joe frowns at Lisa's outfit.
Doing some role-playing or what?
Well, kind of. Helps to fit in when you look the part.
They pull back a curtain, revealing an empty bed.
Oh, shit. Oh.
They look down to a broken restraint and a bloody rag near a desk. Lisa walks around the desk and finds the girl crouched under it. Lisa stoops down to her level.
Hi. It's okay. You're okay. My name's Lisa. I'm with social services. I'm not going to hurt you, okay? I'm here to help you. Can you tell me your name? It's okay. How about, can you just nod your head for me? Yeah. Do you know who did this to you? No, it's okay. Shh. You are so safe here. You can trust me, okay? Take my hand. We're gonna come out nice and slow. Gotta get you back into bed, okay? You're okay. You're safe. Let's go nice and easy. Nice and easy. It's okay. You're safe. You're safe.
The girl spots the booted figure and bolts away.
Oh my God. Somebody sound called one.
Lisa and Joe hurry after the girl. She pushes open a door and runs down the hallway. She clutches at her chest, looking over her shoulder as she runs down the hall. She stops, sliding on her sock-covered feet, then rushes out of the front doors. Lisa and Joe run outside to her. The girl runs into the road where a large semi-truck runs over her. Lisa's jaw drops.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Come on, you don't have to see this. You don't have to see this. Don't look. Just don't look. Come on.
Joe shields Lisa with his body as he walks her back into the hospital. The girl's mauled body lies in pieces under the truck. A police officer walks over with a white sheet and lays it over her face. A man in a black beanie and brown jacket stands nearby with his back to the body. The cop walks over to him and gently escorts him away. The red car drives past them and the body. A bright sun sits on the horizon. Several cars drive through the streets in a small town littered with vibrant trees. At the police station, Lisa walks into Jack's office with coffee.
Wait, what?
Hi.
What a nice surprise.
I was wondering if there was any information on last night's stabbing.
We're on it.
Lisa.
Chief, hi.
Ray of sunshine in our dingy little office.
Anything on that girl last night?
Street rat, clearly drugged up. Gets killed by traffic accident.
With multiple knife wounds.
Lisa, we're on it. Let us do our jobs.
Did you know her?
Yeah, she had a familiar face, but I don't know. These girls are kind of tough nuts to crack. Maybe I'll go over to Stars tonight. I can ask around.
Don't go nuts. You drew on me, Lisa.
Lisa sits in her apartment watching the news. Sadie steps into the room. She smiles and spins, showing off her formal outfit.
Oh, my God, you look amazing.
But what if they don't like me? I don't want you to be disappointed.
No, stop. Don't be nervous, okay? These are friends of mine. You just go in there, just be yourself. That's all you have to do. You got it.
Okay, but what if they do like me? I mean, Lisa, I don't know.
Okay, I already told you. Don't worry about anything. You can stay with me until you get your first paycheck, okay? Nothing to be nervous about. Go knock them dead. Yes.
Thank you.
Sadie picks up her purse and heads out.
Good luck. If anyone has any
information on Lisa turns her attention back to the news. Night falls on the city as cars drive through empty streets. Jack sits at his desk at the police station, leaning his head against his hand. A picture of him and Lisa sits above his keyboard. A woman with long black hair struts into his office and sits next to him on his desk.
Hey, Jack.
Hey.
So you're working late again?
Yeah, I got a lot of paperwork.
Is there anything I can help you with?
Nah, it's all in my head. I just gotta get out on the computer.
I can help you clear your head. I heard you guys split. She must have been crazy to let a good man like you get away.
Not exactly. We're trying to work it out.
Well, if you ever need a shoulder to cry on.
Thank you, Sylvia.
That shoulder could be in uniform, or it could be an outfit.
Sylvia leans in close to Jack's ear, then starts to undo her shirt.
Well, that is certainly an intoxicating offer, but I'm not ready.
He holds her wrists.
I'm not ready to give up on her just yet.
Sylvia nods.
Okay. Well, if you change your mind, offer still stands.
She smirks at Jack and saunters out of his office. He stares off with a smile.
It's not the only thing standing.
At a bar, a woman in a fur coat sings to a man sitting near her.
No, I'm not the prettiest girl that you have ever known. But beauty is as beauty does. Just look at how.
Lisa walks in, passing a sign reading, Maddie's Place. She approaches a group of young women sitting at a table.
Hey, girls.
Hey,
Lisa. You heard about that girl that got sliced up and run down? Fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
What's your old man's take on it?
I'm getting a blow off. Did any of you girls know her?
She wasn't one of us. Must have rolled in from some other gutter.
Unlucky gutter.
What's it gonna be, ladies? If you're sitting at my table, you gotta crack open those coin purses.
Star!
Hey, lay off, Star. You know that we keep this place running.
Amen! Hey, it's all right, Star. This round's on me, whatever they normally get.
What they always get when you're paying, or what they sometimes get when you're not here?
What they usually get.
How about for you? I heard you had a hell of a night. How about a double?
Damn, Star! What's wrong with you?
Seriously?
For real? Sorry, Lisa. I run a bar. Habit.
No sweat. So, anything on the girl? Come on, any of you guys see her last night? You know where she might have gotten picked up? Who she partied with?
The girls all avoid Lisa's gaze.
Nothing. See, come on, girls. I know you're not always on the up and up with me, and I get it. I'm not here to cause any trouble.
Or bore us with your AA anecdotes.
Fair enough. All right, fine. I just want to find out what happened so it doesn't happen again to any of you.
You see?
So anything?
At the far end of the room, a woman with dirty red hair walks out.
Hey,
How about you? You know anything about that girl that got killed last night?
The woman giggles as she leaves. Lisa frowns at her.
That one? Fucking nutcase. I wouldn't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. She's a tweaker.
The man with the red car sits parked outside the bar. The red-haired woman steps outside with a woman with short, curly hair, a leather jacket, and white shorts.
Welcome. Yeah, yeah.
The curly-haired woman slowly walks across the parking lot over to the red car. She smirks as she looks off to her side. Reaching the car, she peers inside through the passenger window before climbing in, at the bar.
Listen, girl, we appreciate your concern, but she's not the first, and she won't be the last. Girls have been disappearing around here for years.
Yep.
Nobody gives a damn.
Are you telling me that other girls have been killed?
We have been talking to the cops till we're blue in the face. Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
And all we get at best is a shrug.
Listen, they don't give a shit about us. They think we've got it coming or something.
Lisa frowns as she looks around at the women. In a house, the man from the red car unwraps a piece of cloth on a dresser. The curly-haired woman lies on a bed nearby. She wraps a rubber string around her arm and holds a needle in her hand. The man looks down at a row of various knives that lie on the cloth. He picks up one of the knives and holds it downwards in his hand. The woman slowly sticks the needle into her arm as he raises and lowers the knife by his side. The man carefully slides the strap of a large leather apron over his neck. He ties another strap around his waist. The girl smiles as she pulls the needle out of her arm. She slides her feet underneath a wool blanket on the bed. The man opens a drawer on the dresser.
Oh, hell yeah, man. You got more of this? I'm your girl.
She snaps the band off of her arm. The man grabs a large roll of plastic out of the drawer and walks over to the bed.
Whatever you want, Daddy. That's my game.
He rolls the paper out on the bed.
Just a little bit, please.
What the fuck? I said I would do whatever you want. Just gotta ask.
He covers the top of the bed with the paper, then rolls the girl back onto it.
Sorry, I'm a little bit of a clean freak.
Clean freak. That's funny.
He grabs her legs and pulls her down further onto the paper. She slowly blinks her eyes as he walks back to the dresser. He picks up a knife and walks back to her.
You're a funny, funny fucking guy, you know that? Fucking serious, you fucking nuts.
Oh, my pretty little piggy. I'm dead serious.
Shit.
The woman groggily blinks her eyes as she stares at a ceiling light.
This is good. Good.
He slowly climbs over the woman from the foot of the bed.
What the fuck are you doing?
What's
the fucking knife in your
hand? What knife?
Fucking knife.
Darling, this isn't a knife. This is your salvation.
No, 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 no. No, please, look, I'll get you off. Let me do anything. Stop, please.
He covers her mouth.
You already have.
He raises the knife and plunges it into her chest. He grins, pulling the knife down to the needle. He withdraws his hand from her mouth as she goes limp. He removes the knife and cocks his head. Using one hand to open the wound, he sticks his other hand into the woman's chest. Shaking, he slowly pulls out her organs. In the back of a butcher shop, the man stands before several trays of ground beef. He frowns at one of the trays and raises it up to eye level. Picking through the meat, he pulls out the woman's nipple piercing. A chunk of her flesh still remains on it. Frowning, he quickly sticks the piercing into his mouth. He chews on the piece of flesh as he examines the piercing. He tucks it into his apron pocket. He grabs a strip of sausage casing, opening one end, and attaches it to a metal tube on a meat grinder. He rotates a crank on the grinder. At the front of the store, a woman lays several sausages onto a scale. Outside, the cop from the hospital gets out of his cruiser and walks into the shop. The man from the back carries a large cooler out to the front of the store. He pauses as he sees the cop walking into the shop. He sets the cooler down behind the counter and puts on plastic gloves.
Okay. We got 50 links, 40 pork, 2 squealer specials.
He sets 2 wrapped packages on the counter.
Fresh killer sausages. This place never disappoints.
The cop looks at the packages labeled Officer Paul. The man smiles at Paul.
Thank you. You know, it's all in the cut.
Paul looks and frowns at the man. The man breaks into a grin. Paul slowly turns and walks out of the store. He looks over his shoulder at the man as he leaves. At the police station, he sits in the break room looking through a window at Lisa and Jack in his office.
Women get reported missing all the time, and most of them turn out to be nothing. These girls on the street, they're mostly just drifters.
Well, that doesn't mean that we should just ignore them.
We need to put our energy into people who really deserve it, Lisa. Not people who choose a certain way of life and then end
choose
up dead in a ditch because of their life choices.
Not people who choose a
certain... I'm sorry, but that's the harsh truth.
That is not only heartless, it's incredibly ignorant. What, seriously, you think these women on school career day decided, hey, I think I'll be a cheap hooker and stand on a street corner where somebody might come along and kill me, and if they do, no one will give a damn, not even the police.
Jack pulls Lisa aside.
That's Lisa, great. Calm down.
God damn it.
Please tell me that you don't agree with her. Is that why you haven't done enough to find this poor girl?
Lisa, I know that this is personal for you, but we don't have the manpower on the force, and we're all just trying to do our best.
Really? Well, in the words of Winston Churchill, it is not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what is fucking required.
Lisa pops her eyebrows at Sylvia. Scoffing, Sylvia walks away. Lisa turns around to Jack, who sits on the edge of his desk. He looks up to Lisa, and they share a smile.
That language is a little blunt, even for Churchill.
All right. Well, so I embellished.
Yeah, you did. There's no need to take it out on Sylvia. She didn't do anything.
Right. She didn't do anything. That's the problem. None of you are doing anything.
Lisa, is this what you do?
Lisa storms out. Sylvia walks past the break room.
We have an APB out on 2 pink puppies trying to escape. You copy?
What the fuck did you just say to me? Want to say it a little louder for the guys in the back? Go ahead.
See? My mama told me about your type.
And what'd she say?
You do whatever it takes to get attention. And when you get the attention you want, what are you doing? What are you... Like, come on. You see what you're doing wearing this shit every day. I'm giving you what you want. Attention!
Did your mama also ever tell you that you got a big fucking mouth that should stay shut? Because let me tell you something right now. You ever speak to me or even about me again, I will rip your pathetic little man-child nuts off and shove them down. You got it.
Sylvia marches out of the room.
Oh, good. I got this killer sausage here, too. It's all for me.
Paul puts some sausage between 2 pieces of bread. Outside a small white house, 5 men sit around. They look over as a car slowly makes its way down a road past them. They shrug it off as the car disappears down the road. The men sip from beer bottles as the car pulls up near the house.
Thank you.
The men stand up and watch the car as it parks. A foot steps out of the vehicle wearing a brown leather shoe. A man wearing a dark red blazer with a matching turtleneck and pants opens the back door to the car. The men frown as they watch the man in the blazer pull out a crossbow. He turns to the group of men. Holding a bolt in one hand, he twirls and waves it like a conductor's baton. He slowly walks to the group.
Oh, shit. No.
A bald man with a short beard watches the man approach. The rest of the group quickly walks away. The bald man opens his mouth to speak. The man in the blazer rests his bolt against the man's cheek.
So beautiful. You hear the music? Do you hear it?
He grins as he pokes the bolt into the man's chest. He raises up the crossbow as the man shakes his head. Lisa sits at a computer in her office. She scrolls through several pictures of missing people. Scratching the back of her neck, she pulls up the Department of Social Services website and searches for missing people on there. She narrows her search to within 1 month, then scrolls through more pictures of missing people. Joe stands in her doorway with 2 cups of coffee.
Mind if I come in?
Oh, you must have read my mind. I need something to wake me up from this episode of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, well, glad to see there's one vice that you haven't given up. Besides, who else can I call at 3 a.m. when I can't sleep?
This is insane. There's literally dozens of missing women and zero action from the dickless Tracys.
Are you all right? I haven't seen you this wound up since,
I'm fine.
When's the last time you talked to your sponsor?
Hey, I said, I'm fine.
Lisa, I know you care about these girls, but you're going to see Jack's point. A lot of them are transient and they don't want to be found.
I know the stats, Joe. I'm just telling you, something does not feel right.
You saw a woman die. That's what doesn't feel right. Seeing something like that could mess with anybody as sensitive as you.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't stop thinking about that crazy girl with the red hair.
Because you're swimming on this pretty deep water here. Why don't you let Jack handle us?
It's because it's like he's brainwashed. What if there really is someone out there killing not just one woman, but lots of them?
Okay. What you got here is a serial killer. A female serial killer with red hair. Girl that died was a drug addict and a hooker. And her end, God rest her soul, is no big surprise. The wounds she suffered were unlikely related to the other missing women.
Maybe. Maybe not. I just have a feeling.
I got a feeling, too. Not a good one.
He grabs his coffee and stands up.
Oh, by the way, that acrid smell I was telling you about? It's a farm smell.
You know what's really interesting? That couple that found her said that they were on the west side of the city. That's farm country.
You know, there's a lot of farms out there. But you stay the hell away from there. There's a lot of weird people out there. Well, you should know. I treat them every damn day. See you later, pumpkin.
Right.
Lisa turns her attention back to her computer and searches for local farms. Farmland, laid out in large grids, stretches endlessly into the horizon. Bright white barns and tall grain silos dot the land. Several small clouds pass through a bright blue sky. The man in the blazer pulls up to a dirty red barn. The man from the butcher shop steps out from behind the large barn doors and slowly walks to the car. The other man steps out of his car. He hands over a large white bag to the butcher.
Sugar?
It's for all my friends.
And I put some extra in for you.
Extra? Mm-hmm. What for?
I need you to dump some trash for me.
The man pops open the trunk of the car. The butcher follows him around to the back, where he sees the body of the bald man lying with an arrow through his eye.
Oh, wow. That is a big son of a bitch. Goodness gracious. What happened to him?
You know. Fat guys. Their hearts give.
Yeah. Gotta imagine this didn't help.
The butcher taps on the arrow.
Give me a sec.
The butcher steps away. He grabs a small wagon by the side of the barn and pulls it back to the car. The butcher awkwardly pulls the wagon around, adjusting it until it's against the back of the car. The man in the blazer wipes dirt off his shoes and pants.
Okay. Let's figure this out here.
The butcher grabs the top half of the dead man and struggles to pull him out of the car. The man in the blazer arcs his brows as he watches. The butcher strains as he barely drags the body out of the back of the car. The butcher pauses and glances up to the man in the blazer.
Hey, buddy, could you give me a hand? You can help the body.
The butcher frowns at him. He glances between him and the body.
He said, give me a hand. You get it? No.
The man in the blazer grabs the body's feet, and they drag the body into the wagon.
Oh, come. Okay. Okay.
The butcher rests his hands against his hips as he catches his breath. He looks down at the body's feet.
What the hell happened to his shoe? He bled all over it. He bled all over his shoe. How?
I used it to slap his fat face.
You slapped this man in the face with his shoe? Why?
What is this? 20 fucking questions? Yes, I used his shoe to slap him in his fat fucking face. What does it matter? What else was I gonna use?
Oh, you use a mallet. Use a baseball bat, maybe a meat tenderizer. I don't know.
A meat tenderizer? Where am I going to get a meat tenderizer?
The butcher looks to his side and spits. The man in the blazer follows him as he pulls the body into the barn.
Meat tenderizer.
Right this way, Daniel.
The man in the blazer pushes aside several clear plastic curtains hanging from the ceiling as he walks through the barn. He looks around the room with a slack jaw and wide eyes. The butcher wheels the body over to a metal table. As the butcher rubs the dead man's head, the man in the blazer pulls a cloth out of his pocket and holds it to his face.
I thought these places were, those places were supposed to be, sterile, like hospitals.
The butcher props the body up to a sitting position.
If the place is too clean, the meat don't taste as good.
Too clean? Fuck me. I feel like I need a tetanus shot in my face.
The butcher jams a meat hook into the back of the body. The man in the blazer holds a hand to his mouth as he grimaces. The butcher grabs a remote that's connected to a pulley system on the ceiling. Pressing a button, it slowly pulls the man up by the hook connected to a metal wire. Pressing a second button, the butcher moves the man over to the table and sets him down. The butcher pulls the pants off the body. The man in the blazer holds the cloth back to his face. The butcher pulls a knife from a pocket on his brown leather apron. He grabs the body's thighs and cuts a deep slash into both of them.
You want the blood to bleed out real nice. The femoral artery will bleed you dry in no time. You know, this might take some time. If you want, I could brew us up a pot of coffee, maybe fry us out some saucy sandwiches.
I'm good. I'm super good. Thank you. I'm gonna be outside. All right?
The man turns and leaves.
Suit yourself.
The butcher turns his attention back to the body and watches it bleed. Outside, the man in the blazer pulls a small vial out of his pocket. He dips a small object in the vial, then snorts off of it. Several women stand in front of the graffiti wall. A woman in a black skirt and fishnets hurries away as Jack pulls up.
Oh, shit. I'm gonna be on my way.
Hey, Tammy, I need to ask a few questions.
I'm not working. I was just cruising by saying hi to some friends.
Come here.
I'm not here to give you a hard time. I just need to ask you a few questions. Get over here.
Tammy looks off to her side at the other woman. She reluctantly walks over to Jack.
Did you know that poor girl that got hit by the truck?
Personally? No. Seen around, though.
Did you hear any stories about anybody unusual coming around with her or any of the other girls?
No one knew.
You didn't hear anything from the other girls, some of the people you work with, anything?
No. Can I go home now?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
At the barn, the man in the blazer snorts more of the substance from the vial. The butcher wipes his hands with a rag as he steps outside.
All done.
We're good.
The butcher slowly steps forward to the man.
You know, if you cleaned yourself up, you know, you know, shave your beard, you know, put on some cologne, maybe got some new threads, right? Nice whip, nice ride. You could have some fine classy ass coming in and out of here all day, right? Fuck knows you can afford it. You got more money than God, huh? This land alone's got to be worth what? Millions. Millions.
I don't work alone.
Yeah, I'm well aware. I heard you got a $7 million for your uncle's spot.
That's not true.
Whatever. It's irrelevant, right? Whatever money you have, you can get a fucking tail train coming through here.
It was $8.5 million.
$8.5 million?
That's right.
And you still live here?
Well, this is my home.
The man in the blazer raises his eyebrows and nods with a grin. He looks off to his side.
What the fuck was that?
Feeding time.
The butcher grins at him and gestures with the bloody rag.
Come see.
The man in the blazer tightens his jaw and swallows hard as he follows the butcher across the land.
What the fuck is this?
It's wind.
I know what it is.
The woman with 30 red hair feeds pigs.
I know. Here you go. Come on.
The man in the blazer walks over to the pig enclosure. The woman leans over the gate, tossing meat down to them.
What do you think, like meat?
Come on. Oh, no. These babies, they'll eat anything. So don't ever stick your hand or your foot on that tiny dick of yours through that fence here, because if you do... I guarantee they're going to eat your ass.
Maybe I should feed you to them.
Oh, yeah, you promise?
He looks down at the enclosure, spotting a human hand as a pig eats it.
Hands.
Hey, Squay, Emerson, Lisa, bitch, it's ours, and she's asking just a lot of questions.
Who the fuck is Lisa?
I don't know who the fuck Lisa is. You tell me who Lisa is.
Did I miss something?
The redhead and the butcher, Squealer, glare at the man as they walk away.
Yeah, mind your fucking business, Eggplant. Did you bring that blow you promised me last time?
Do I look like I'm running a charity?
Well, you know I work for, right?
in your dreams.
Yeah? You wanna walk into the sunset with me? My dreams are this way. Come on.
The red-headed woman walks over to the man's car, where his crossbow lies against the tire. He runs over as she reaches for the weapon.
Get away from that. Get away.
What?
Don't touch that. Okay? It's deadly.
That thing will kill you?
Just leave it alone.
Huh. Do you have a little Indian outfit you like to dress it up in for Christmas?
This is the highest powered carbon fiber compound bow on the planet.
The woman looks at the crossbow and nods.
I do like it when you talk dirty to me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
He watches her as she walks away and looks down to his crossbow, running his hand over it. At the police station, Paul walks past Jack's office.
Hey, Paul, you got a sec?
What up?
When you get a chance, I'd like to take a look at that report you took from the couple in the RV.
For what?
I just want to comb through and see if we missed anything.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to get back at your ex, ain't you? I understand, man. She got a nice, tight little booty.
What the fuck did you say to me?
Wait.
What are you doing, Jack? No, he's not pregnant.
A policewoman runs over and separates the two men. At the bar, Squealer walks in and looks around. The redhead sits at the bar across from Star.
She's married to a cop, so don't go fucking with her.
Oh, come on, Star. Why are you gonna act like I'm aggressive or something? I'm making small talk because I've never seen her before.
Well, that's all I got, and I gotta work.
A bearded man looks over to her.
I know something about it.
Yeah, what do you know? Huh?
She looks down to the far end of the bar where Squealer sits.
Hey. Yeah, you? Spare a couple of smokes for a couple pretty girls?
The curly-haired woman next to her waves her fingers at Squealer.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah?
Yeah. Come and get them.
All right, come on. Thanks a lot.
Star rolls her eyes at the red-headed woman. The two women slide down the bar to Squealer.
Yeah? What?
A bearded man whispers into the redhead's ear. The curly-haired woman takes one of Squealer's cigarettes. The redhead looks down at Squealer's pack of cigarettes.
Oh, well. Now that looks like a whole lot of fun. You got a lot?
The redhead places a cigarette between her teeth. Squealer smiles and pulls out a lighter.
Hey!
What?
Not in here, you know that.
Come on, Star.
Really? Out back.
Huh. I'm taking these. Want to come outside?
Come on, mister.
Come on, girl.
Are you sure it's unlocked?
Go.
Yes.
Squealer slowly gets up and follows the two women outside. He lights the curly-haired woman's cigarette.
Well.
A slight smirk crosses Squealer's face as he lights the redhead cigarette.
You ladies have a good evening. I got something better waiting for me at home.
What's that?
Squealer stops and turns back around to the women.
What's your pleasure?
I do like me some Scooby snacks. Right.
The curly-haired woman nods at the redhead.
What about you, miss?
Lisa steps into the bar.
Well, that's the best way to spend a Saturday morning.
Hey. I'm looking for that crazy girl with the red hair. Not you, obviously.
Arlene, yeah, why? Because she's just been in here asking about you.
Really? Is she here now?
Might as well start now.
Girl, Scooby-Doo, you know it.
Squealer holds his elbow out for the curly-haired woman. She takes it, and he walks her away. Erlene's face drops as she watches them.
That method better not be bringing trouble to my bar.
No trouble, Star. I just want to ask her a couple questions.
The curly-haired woman walks with Squealer. She looks back and smirks at Erlene.
You got a ride or what?
I got a ride.
Well, you're in luck. She just went out back.
Thanks.
Erlene walks away with Squealer and the curly-haired woman. Lisa walks to the back of the bar, then returns.
Hey, Star. She's not out there. Did she come back through here?
No, love. Sorry.
Any idea where she might have gone?
No, Star. This drink ain't gonna refill itself, hon.
Hold your ass, Mickey. It's coming. I'm sorry, Lisa. I got no idea.
Squealer slowly opens the front door to his house. The curly-haired woman follows him in, frowning as she looks around.
Would you do me a favor and take off your shoes, please?
Seriously?
Thank you.
This place is a...
We are a guest in this man's house. Take off your shoes.
The woman slides off her fluffy leopard print slippers. Outside, the pigs graze and eat in their enclosure. In the house, Erlene lays out a line of cocaine on a pizza box.
Yeah, girl, get it. Get it.
The curly-haired woman dances in the middle of the room as Erlene snorts the cocaine.
Get it.
Squealer takes off his jacket and slides on his brown leather butcher apron. The curly-haired woman picks up a bottle of liquor from the table and drinks. Squealer picks up a roll of plastic and a holstered knife from a chair in the living room. He smiles at Erlene. She glances up at him, then continues snorting. The curly-haired woman continues dancing as Squealer takes his belongings into his bedroom. A lamp on a nightstand flickers. Squealer stands at the foot of the bed and unrolls the plastic.
That's my cue to leave.
What do you mean? The party's just getting started. I don't want to leave yet.
Oh, no, doll. Trust me. You're not leaving.
Erlene puts pills away into a bottle and swigs from a beer. The curly-haired woman continues to dance as Erlene looks around the room.
Hey, Squay, can I have the keys to the truck?
Sure.
Squealer fishes the keys out of his pocket as he walks to the living room.
Oh, you know, if you pick up some eggs, I can make our favorite sausage sandwiches. Go easy tonight. Hey, you're in the truck, cleaning it up.
Well, hey,
you guys married or something?
But look, don't you worry, honey. You just enjoy your chicken flipping, all right? Yeah.
Erlene steps out. Squealer smiles at the woman.
Are you ready?
The woman takes off her top and grins at Squealer. She walks with him back to the bedroom. The woman looks over at the plastic-covered bed.
What's all this?
Oh, you know, I just got a little bit of a thing for clear plastic.
You're fucking weird.
Weird. Weird how?
Just in every way.
Well, that's a little vague. Where are you going?
I'm thirsty. I'm going to get a beer before we consummate the evening.
No, please. You're my guest. Sit down. I can get it.
Well, aren't you a gentleman? Here, I can go grab you one, and you can open it for me.
She runs her hand down his arm as she steps out of the room. Squealer tilts his head down, then slowly follows her. The woman opens his refrigerator door. Her eyes widen, and she holds her hands to her chest. Squealer looms behind her.
I can explain.
He gives her a devilish smirk. Lisa steps into the police department, bumping into Paul.
Oh, you're looking for Officer Jack? He's in an investigation right now with the Warner sisters.
She steps to his office.
You do the work for me?
Yeah. That's what we're doing. I wonder if I can sit in this chair.
You can sit in that chair. That's a captain chair. Oh, hey. I didn't know you were coming by.
Clearly.
Normally you text first.
I did text. I guess you were busy looking down your partner's shirt.
Lisa, don't. I wasn't looking down anybody's shirt.
I'll save myself.
Sylvia saunters out of Jack's office. Lisa stares at Jack.
So I came because I heard you were talking to some of the girls, so I wanted to see if you heard anything, but you've clearly moved on to another investigation, no. So I'm going to...
No, Lisa, I have been following up. Lisa, you shouldn't walk out like this. We at least need to have a conversation about this.
A woman holds the door for Lisa as she storms out to the parking lot. Jack follows.
Hey!
Lisa keeps walking. Jack grabs her arm.
You were acting like a crazy person. What the hell is wrong with you?
What is wrong with me? Every time I walk into your office, that strippogram is all over you.
You walked out on me. You don't get to say who I talk to or what I do.
I guess it's true that Tiger doesn't change his stripes.
She storms away from Jack.
You promised me to never bring that up again. We are past that. You were so caught up in your own bullshit, you haven't given any thought to think about how hard these past 2 months have been for me. You're falling apart and you're taking us with you. You still haven't fixed this roof. Your whole life is falling apart. You'd rather freeze to death than fix it.
Lisa briefly shuts her eyes, then gets out of the car.
What is it that you want to say, Jack? Just say it. You've been dying to say it this whole time, so just say it. You want to say that I'm selfish?
All I'm trying to do is win you back.
Jack slowly walks back to the police station.
Hey.
Lisa reaches out. Jack turns around to face her.
Sorry, okay?
Me too.
Not about the tart, though. Not sorry about that. Okay, you're not gonna like this, but Joe is saying that the woman at the hospital had manure all over her. An old couple is saying that they were on the side of the farms
Are
by the track. There's only three
right
farms.
Right now?
With
you're talking about this shit right now?
Stay the fuck out of my job.
This is becoming your new addiction. I do not want to be around you when you slide.
Jack walks away from Lisa.
Fuck.
Lisa walks back to her car. A bright blue, cloudless sky hangs over an empty field, stretching out to the horizon. Squealer's red car cuts down a road as Arlene rides beside him. Arlene rests her feet on the dash of the car. She picks at her toenails. She looks out of the window as they pass a billboard advertising knives.
You know, I'm always up for the hunt, but I'm thinking maybe it's time you take a breather.
He glances over to her and does a double take as he furrows his brow.
Fuck's sake, Arlene. You're the last person I ever expected to be talking me down off of crazy.
Well, what are you trying to say, Squee?
I'm saying you're nuttier than squirrel shit.
Arlene scoffs at him, then looks back to her toes with a smile.
I think that's actually the nicest thing you ever said to me. It's just that I care. And that just even sounds kind of weird to say out loud.
Yeah, me too.
And you always said never too close together. And you never done them too close together.
Yeah, well, things change.
Know what I think?
Nope.
I think that Lisa bitch is making you hard.
Oh, come on, Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
You know that ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
But she is out there still. And I am keen on finding her.
All I'm saying is if you get caught, don't you get me fucked in the process.
Squealer glances back and forth between Arlene and the road. He pops his eyebrows up as he looks forward.
Speaking of, you got this pretty little piggy right here.
Now?
A woman walks down the street.
It ain't dark yet.
Oh, I don't see the difference.
Come on, Squealer.
Go.
Arlene steps out of the car.
Hi. What do you guys want?
Hold on. No. Don't get hostile. I'm just being friendly. Actually, we're going to a party, and my friend here thought it might be fun to invite you along.
And a hooker.
I know that. And look, he's not looking to bone. Now listen, I know these looks are deceiving, but I'm telling you, this guy is rich. So if he wanted to get laid, he can just get a top-shelf girl.
He don't look rich.
Okay, look. Do you want to go to a party or not? This guy is my friend. He has the best party favors, and he likes to share them with pretty girls, and he thinks you're pretty, but he's shy, which is why I'm here talking to you. So, will you say something?
Excuse me, ma'am. You know you have real kind eyes. Are they green?
Yeah.
I always wanted green eyes. What's your name?
Lulu. And yours?
Squealer holds out a handful of multicolored pills.
Molly Ringwald.
You're funny.
Erlene rolls her eyes.
But are you rich?
Come join us. What's the worst that could happen?
The woman looks over to Erlene, who grips her jacket and shrugs.
What's the worst that could happen?
The woman climbs in the car. Lisa opens the front door to her apartment. Jack stands in her doorway. She leans against the door and smiles at him. He holds out a bottle of wine and a pizza.
Peace over.
Jack slowly steps inside as Lisa closes the door behind him.
Maybe I was blind, too scared.
In the kitchen, Jack slowly steps close to Lisa. He leans over and gently kisses the side of her neck.
Maybe I just need it.
Lisa spins around as Jack holds her. He kisses her neck again as she strokes the side of his face.
All the signs were there that this wasn't worth.
She rolls her head back as he kisses her, then pushes him away.
I just need one more time.
Jack stares deeply into her eyes. A mounted boar's head sits on a wall in Squealer's house. The woman he picked up lies flat on her back on his bed. She giggles as she stares up at his ceiling light. Squealer walks over and watches her from his bedroom doorway. She rests an arm across her stomach as she laughs.
What's so funny?
That's it. I have no fucking idea what's so funny. It just is.
Squealer walks into the room. Passing the girl, he stands before his spread of knives on top of his dresser.
Mm. I get it. I like to laugh too. I think I'm gonna need you to take your clothes off.
The girl's eyes widen.
What the fuck, dude? I thought you said no sex.
The woman gets up and runs out of the room. Squealer steps onto his bed as he walks after her. Erlene sits in the living room and watches the woman run out the front door.
What the fuck is it with you letting these bitches get away?
Hey, if she gets away, it's your ass too. Get off your ass and help.
Well, you better go find her then.
Squealer walks across the yard after the woman. The woman rushes past an open barn door. Doubling back, she runs inside and slides the door shut. She flicks off the barn lights. Squealer slides open the doors and flicks the lights back on. He looks around, dangling a knife by his side. The woman hides in a meat freezer, covering her mouth. In a flashback, Squealer's mom yanks open the freezer doors. He hides inside with a piglet.
Here you are! Fuck you, pussy!
She takes the piglet.
I told you, they are not little pets, you pussy!
Oh, no, please.
I should have seen you at the road at birth. You're naked, eat! So tender when they're little.
She slams the door shut. In the present, Squealer stands before the girl in the freezer. He stabs her repeatedly. Squealer holds out a spoon to the woman. Squealer presses the spoon to the woman's eye. In the house, he spreads mustard over a piece of bread. He opens up his refrigerator, revealing various jars with murky liquids and severed hands. Squealer opens his mouth, spitting out the woman's eye. He holds it out before him, admiring it.
Brown eyes are fine, blue eyes are good, but the eyes that are most misunderstood are the green eyes.
Yes, the green eyes.
He places an eye on a jar containing several other eyes. He grabs a package out of the fridge and goes back to his table. Unwrapping it, he pulls out several sliced sausages and lays them on the sandwich bread. He picks up the sandwich and takes a big bite of it. Lisa stands in her apartment with Sadie.
I promise it'll only be for a couple of weeks.
No, I told you you're welcome to stay to the end of the month, and then, you know, you'll get settled in your new job, and I'll help you find a place of your own.
Sadie smiles at Lisa and takes a seat on the couch. Sadie opens up her duffel bag, and her face freezes. Lisa sits down next to her.
I want to start clean with you. Please don't be mad. I haven't done any in 2 weeks. I was keeping this just in case.
She pulls out a tinfoil package and hands it over to Lisa. She slowly unwraps it.
But I don't want to hide anything from you, and I don't want that anymore.
Lisa furrows her brow as she stares down at the package.
Are you mad?
I'm not mad.
Okay, because this might sound silly, but no one's ever been this nice to me. I mean, no one even really knew I existed, but for some reason you believe in me. And I want to make you proud or whatever.
I am proud of you, Sadie. It doesn't sound silly. This took a lot of courage. Thank you for trusting me.
She reaches out and holds Sadie's hand.
Where'd you get it?
Please,
no.
Lisa.
Come on, seriously. It's really important, Sadie.
No. It was just from some random kid on the other side of town.
What do you look like?
I don't know, a kid? The hoodie, I mean, it could have been anybody. Lisa, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's okay, but I gotta take this to the station.
What? No.
Seriously, I promise you're not in any trouble. I don't want you to worry, okay? I got you, girl.
Lisa.
This is our secret, but this might be a good lead on the case.
Secret?
You
but you're...
You might be able to find out where it came from.
Lisa puts her jacket on.
Don't worry. I'll be back in a flash.
Please don't. Lisa, please.
Fuck me, huh?
Jack throws a handcuffed man into his police cruiser. He holds his phone to his ear.
Hello?
Hey, you at the station?
No, I'm just finishing up with some asshole.
What's up?
You're right, Jack.
Oh, good. I love it when I'm right.
What was I right about?
I think it's time I let you in.
I was hoping you'd come to that conclusion.
Can you come over later? Sadie's going to work soon. I thought we can talk some more and make up for lost time. What do you think?
I think I'll be hightailing it over there just as soon as I'm finished up here. See you soon.
Another cop car pulls up to Jack. A blonde officer steps out.
Hey, good timing. You want to take the collar on this one? Okay, good. The perp's in the back. My crew's a little worse for the wear. Do you mind if I take yours? You'll get a promotion for this.
Jack leaves with her cruiser. At Lisa's apartment complex, several people hang out in a courtyard. A man stands by a grill cooking sausages. Sadie leans against a pole smoking a cigarette. Wearing a black and white dress and black high-heeled shoes, she stamps out her cigarette. She fishes her keys out and steps back to the front door of the building. She fidgets with the lock, which refuses to budge. It finally unlocks, and she steps inside. Squealer reaches out, grabbing the door before it can close. Sadie turns around to him.
Thank you.
No worries.
He steps inside and follows Sadie up a run-down spiral staircase outside the apartments. Sadie nervously glances back at Squealer.
Do you live here?
No, ma'am, just here to see a business colleague. After you.
Sadie continues forward. Squealer walks next to her.
I don't live here either. Just staying with a friend.
Oh.
Squealer holds his hand to his chest. Sadie anxiously taps her hands together.
So what kind of business are you in?
Meat. Fresh meat.
Like a butcher?
Yeah. Just slicing and dicing meat.
Isn't that kind of weird? Killing? Chopping up animals?
No, you're getting used to it. Creatures don't even see it coming. Killing part's over in seconds.
Well, that's good, I guess. That they don't see it coming.
Squealer and Sadie round a corner, passing more apartments as they walk.
What about you?
Actually, I just started a new job. I'm officially the receptionist at the Lincoln Hotel.
Really? Wow. You know, I think that you'll make a fantastic receptionist.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, you look so familiar to me. Have we met?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a small town, but I'd never forget eyes like yours.
They stop outside Lisa's apartment.
Okay, well, this is my stop.
You're staying with Lisa?
Yes.
That's who I'm here to see.
Really?
Yeah.
That must be why I recognize you. What did you say your name was?
Theodore. Most people call me Squealer.
Okay. Lisa just ran out for a minute, but you are welcome to wait with me if you like.
He stares at the door.
No, you know, I don't want to be in a position. I can just wait out here.
It's no imposition at all. Please, come in.
Okay, then.
Do you mind if I call you Theo?
My mama used to call me Theo.
Sadie opens the front door, and Squealer follows her in. He shuts the door behind himself. Cut to black. At a gas pump, Joe refills his car, watching the numbers on the pump crawl higher and higher. He opens the driver's side door and pauses. Looking across the lot, he spots Arlene stepping out of the gas station. He climbs into his car, watching her walk over to the man in the Blazers car. You go and bother him. They back out of their parking space and drive off. Joe swings a U-turn in the parking lot and follows after them. Joe sits in his car, parked by the side of the road in a dry, empty area. At Squealer's farm, the man in the blazer and Arlene step out of the car.
Come on, pick up, Christian.
Lisa runs over a curb as she pulls over.
Hey, Joe.
Arlene stares into the distance.
Well, what the fuck does he want?
Listen, I think I found your mysterious red-haired girl. They pulled into this pig farm out here on the county road called Squealer's.
Oh, my God, that's got to be the farm.
Focus. You're going to take my truck. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. No, wait. We're going to see if he follows you.
Okay.
If it's the farm he wants, I'll deal with it.
Okay.
Hang tight and don't do anything stupid.
Me don't do anything stupid. You don't do anything stupid, for Christ's sake.
No. I'm going to call Jack right now, okay? I'll let him handle it.
Put it down. Okay, look, just don't touch anything, okay? Just don't. You do know how to drive, right?
I have stolen nicer cars like this since I was 12. Do not insult me.
And don't mess with my seat.
Hello, this is Detective Jackson. Leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Don't touch the temperature, don't touch the rearview mirror, and don't touch the radio. Leave it on the opera. Don't touch it!
He grabs his crossbow out of the car.
Hey, Jack. Okay, you're not gonna like this, but Joe just found that crazy girl that I've been telling you about, and guess where she is? There's a pig farm, and it's called Squealer's, okay? I'm gonna head in that direction right now, but don't worry, I'll wait for you.
Dumb fucking bitch.
He steps in the barn as Arlene drives off. Joe spins his car around and drives away. Earlene drives down the road after Joe, then pulls to a stop. She holds a phone to her ear.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay, get your ass back here. Now.
And go gentle on my truck.
Mm-hmm. Earlene hangs up her phone and tosses it out the car window. She speeds off down the road. Jack walks into Lisa's apartment.
Lisa?
Jack smiles as he steps inside. Lisa drives down an empty road past barren farmland.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Joe, can you call me back? I tried to take a shortcut, but I think I got turned around. Even my GPS doesn't know where I am.
Jack walks over to Lisa's bed. A body-shaped figure lies beneath the bedsheets. He smiles as he strips off his police uniform and belt. He sets his gun on the nightstand and slides into bed.
I missed you so much. You're so cold.
He yanks the covers back, revealing Sadie's mutilated corpse.
Jesus Christ!
He grabs his gun off of the nightstand, then checks Sadie's pulse. Jack sits with his gun in his hand and his phone to his ear.
Thanks. I'm all right. Just get here as soon as you can.
Hey, Jack. Okay, you're not gonna like this, but Joe just found that crazy girl that I've been telling you about, and guess where she is?
Lisa's car sputters to a stop.
No, no, no! No!
She gets out of her car as Jack calls her back. She opens her trunk, pulling out an empty gasoline container. She sits back down in the car and calls Jack.
Hello, this is Detective Jackson. Just leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Jack drives down a road, passing Earlene as she drives in the opposite direction.
There you are.
She pulls up Squealer's farm on a map on her phone.
Joe, where are you? I'm only a few miles away from the farm, but I really need someone to come get me. Call me, please.
She hangs up, then puts the phone back to her ear. Paul stands with a woman at the station.
But I know what it is. You're pretty, right? So you want somebody to cut you in line to make your stolen car a priority over theirs. Their car matters. We even got to...
We take every call, you know what I mean?
Paul hangs up the phone.
Our clients are proud. That's how we've been in business. That's how we've been in business this long, you know what I mean?
He hangs up the phone again. Lisa steps out of her car and rests her hands on her hips. The sun beats down on the road as Squealer drives his car. He passes Earlene as she drives in the opposite direction. They pull to a stop next to each other.
The fuck are you doing?
You should probably check on your friend Danny. He's a real mental case.
Well, yeah. Something happened?
Probably.
Earlene, I don't know what that means.
It means that things are getting too hot around here.
You're leaving?
You know me, man. I'm like the wind. I'll either see you around, or I won't.
Squealer looks forward and nods with a heavy brow. Earlene speeds off down the road. Squealer watches her go in his side mirror, then drives away. At Squealer's farm, mud-covered pigs graze around their enclosures. Squealer gets out of his car and slams the door shut. Danny steps out of the barn.
This bitch who took my car?
Why'd you give her your car?
I didn't give her my car.
She's gone.
You better call your fucking psycho sidekick, cunt bitch, and get her back here right now. Now!
Squealer grabs the bow as Danny draws a gun.
It is enough! Put that fucking bow down. Put my bow down. Motherfucker. Don't fuck with me.
Squealer throws the bow aside and runs away. Danny runs after him. Jack rushes up to the outside of the barn. Drawing his gun, carefully slinks alongside the wall. Danny walks through the farm, firing aimlessly.
Want to shoot out with me? Hot pig boy! Is that what you want? Let's go!
What the fuck are you shooting at?
Jack shoots at him from around the corner.
Drop your weapon or the next shot will not be a warning!
Danny hunkers down.
Fuck yeah. Let's go. Drop your fucking weapon! Who the fuck are you? Why would I drop my weapon? You need to drop your fucking weapon.
He shoots Danny's leg.
Oh, you fuck!
Danny crawls backwards, falling into the pig enclosure. The gate closes as the pigs spot him.
Drop your fucking weapon! I do not want to kill you! I don't even know who the fuck you are! I'm fucking Danny Diamond! You fucking cunt! It's your call, but I got to drop on you. If you don't tie that leg off, you're gonna bleed out pretty goddamn soon. Fuck you! Are you fucking Nurse Ratched now? You can't fucking beat me!
He shoots Danny's shoulder. Jack runs over to the gate of the enclosure. He watches as the pigs swarm Danny and start eating him. Blood spurts as they rip apart and devour Danny. Jack watches with a horrified look from outside the gate. Jack convulses and collapses. Squealer stands behind him, holding a long yellow cattle prod. He crouches over Jack.
Dirty little piggy.
Squealer searches Jack's pockets. He pulls out his ID.
Oh, Officer Jack, do you know what I do to trespassing little pigs?
Squealer pulls out a knife and plunges it deep into Jack's chest. Squealer glances down at Jack's phone as Lisa calls him. Squealer pulls the knife out of Jack's chest, then picks up his phone.
Shh. Look at that. It's your darling Lisa. What? You know what I think we'll do? Maybe you call her later and give her a heartfelt goodbye.
A large white cloud hangs over a mountain range in the distance. Lisa sits in her car with a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. She looks down at her phone as a message comes in.
Oh, thank God.
She plays a video showing Jack's dead body lying on his car. In blood, the words, "From the bottom of this pig's heart," are written on the hood.
Oh my God.
Lisa steps out of the car and drops to her knees. Lisa retches, holds her hand to her head, and rocks back and forth as she cries. Images of Jack's dead body flash as she punches the hood of her car and sits in the driver's seat. She looks down at the wrap of tinfoil Sadie gave her. She cries as images flash of her and Jack in her kitchen together.
What's wrong?
No.
You had one slip. I've forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself.
Lisa gets out of her car again and starts running down the road as the sun sets. Nighttime falls over Squealer's farm. Lisa runs through wild brush as she approaches the farm. She pushes open a metal gate, running down a path that cuts through the various pig enclosures. She climbs over a fence and runs past several tall walls of stacked hay. Squealer slides the barn door shut as he steps outside. Lisa runs up to him and takes a step back as she catches her breath.
You must be Lisa.
You think you can come into my fucking house?
He kicks a metal bucket at her.
You know we have friends in common, right? Sadie? That's a sweet little thing. And Jack? A tough son of a bitch. And a heart of fucking gold.
Lisa runs up to Squealer and shoves him. He wrestles with her, pulling off her jacket before she runs away. She runs around a corner, spotting the blood-covered car before running into the barn. Squealer steps into the barn and slides the door shut behind himself. He flicks on the lights and looks around. Looking to his side, he grabs a leather utility belt and wraps it around his waist. He latches a bolt at the top of the door, locking it. Holding his hands behind his back, Squealer slowly walks through the barn.
Up goes the piggy.
He pushes through the plastic curtains and yanks open the freezer door. His expression drops, finding it empty. He turns around as Lisa presses the cattle prod into his chest. Squealer slumps to the ground. He starts to stand up as Lisa presses it into his chest again. He smiles and mimes trembling as he yanks the cattle prod away from her.
That's lucky for me. Unlucky for you. I used most of charge on your lover before I ripped his fucking heart out.
She runs away and struggles with the locked door. Squealer slowly walks over to her, tapping two knives against each other.
You hear that?
Lisa lowers her head as she leans against the door and cries.
This is called a bullnose. It's an instrument for savages. Amateurs. It has utility, but it lacks artistry. Nuance. Finesse. What's the point?
He holds up a smaller knife.
This one, on the other hand. Ooh, this one. Is my medium skinner. Now, some butchers call this a throat cutter or a gut slasher, but it's just naive. This instrument here is used for slicing thin-skinned animals, like yourself.
She strikes him with a wooden stick and crawls over a table. He slices the back of her leg and she falls to the ground. He stomps on her shin, breaking it. Squealer watches as Lisa slowly crawls away. She grabs a push cart and uses it as a crutch to walk.
Damn, look at that leg. I know that hurt. Tough little shit. It's a shame this didn't work out. I think you and I'd make good friends.
Squealer presses a large red button, turning on a row of circular metal blades.
Fuck you.
Fucking's not really my game.
Slicing and dicing, that's more my thing.
Seriously, what is wrong with you?
I chalk it up to a cornflake deficiency as a kid.
Why the fuck do you do this? You want to be famous or something?
I don't much care for the limelight. I spend most of my time in the darkness. But I am going to think of you every single fucking time I turn on my light. You want to know why? Because I'm going to make a lampshade out of your nice, smooth hide.
She slices his arm.
Fuck!
He slices the top of her chest.
For fucking...
He punches her in the nose. Lisa collapses. Squealer knocks her over, and she struggles to her feet.
Goddamn, bro. You do have heart.
Lisa rolls to her side, grabbing a meat fork.
I see why your entire pathetic career has been with helpless animals and unconscious women, you fucking...
And a flashback to his mother.
You fucking pussy! Fucking pussy!
She hits him in the face with a mallet and sticks the fork into his leg. Grabbing the metal meat hook from the ceiling, she loops it around the back of his belt. She presses the button on the remote, hoisting him up into the air. She lowers him down onto the conveyor belt, feeding into the metal blades.
Tit for fucking tat!
She slams her hand onto a button on the side of the belt. It kicks on, slowly feeding Squealer's legs into the spinning blades. He reaches his arms out to Lisa as his legs and torso are consumed by the grinder. The metal hook swings as it dangles from the ceiling. Lisa lies on her side. Joe slides open the barn door and walks over to Lisa.
What the fuck? Jesus, you got yourself into a real mess this time, haven't you? Well, it's definitely broken. You just couldn't leave it alone, could you?
Hey, you gotta smoke?
I shouldn't be doing this. Thought you quit.
If he couldn't kill me, figure one smoke's not gonna do it.
Yeah. Where is he?
Images flash of the blood-covered blades.
Can't handle the grind.
Okay. Here's the ambulance. I'll be right back.
Joe steps outside as Lisa lies on the floor smoking a cigarette.
Oh, it's good.
She takes another deep drag and exhales as a bright yellow sun rises on the horizon. Cut to black. Credits roll.
Mm-hmm.
Copyright 2023, Pig Farmer, LLC. All rights reserved. Pig Farmer, LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of U.S. copyright law and the Berne Convention, as well as other international laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events portrayed in this motion picture are fictitious. Ownership of this motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture, or any part thereof, including soundtrack, may result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. A Walk Like a Duck Entertainment Production. An Andy Armstrong film. Audio description created by Point 360, written by James Mason, and narrated by Ravi Erickson.